Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back to another edition of Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini back with you guys for another Tuesday morning here, talking all things Phillies and the season getting closer and closer, which is just crazy to me. It doesn't feel like that long ago the Phillies were having their season end in the beginning of October, and now all of a sudden here we are in January. Pitchers and catchers are going to be reporting soon. Spring training will start within the next month or so. And then the regular season is right around the corner. And I noticed something about the Phillies' regular season this year that I want to touch on that I was shocked at, that I did not think, you know, it's about their schedule. And we'll dive into that a little bit as this episode goes on. But I want to real quick hit on something here that I saw yesterday, that Tim Kelly of Bleacher Report predicted that Jeff Hoffman could sign a three-year, $39 million contract with the Atlanta Braves. Not what you want to hear when we start off this episode, right? I mean, look, I think that we've all come to grips with the fact that Jeff Hoffman likely is not going to be back in a Phillies uniform. I don't foresee really any moves that the Phillies could be making as the season gets nearer. I mean, I guess they could sign some back-end bullpen relief, maybe get a bench bat type of thing, but maybe signing guys to minor league contracts. But the Phillies aren't going to be making any other splash moves. I think Jesus Luzardo was that last move for them. That was the icing on the cake for the offseason, I think, for Dave Dombrowski, and I've touched on it numerous times, you know, over the course of the offseason, that this kind of feels like more of a retooling offseason for Dombrowski and the Phillies. You've got money coming off the books at the end of this year with guys like JT, with guys like Kyle Schwarber. So I think next season is more of an all-in type of offseason for the Phillies and Dombrowski. Now, obviously, that's pending what they do in the 2025 season. Obviously, if the Phillies completely fall apart and go 70-92, that's not going to happen. But if the Phillies can continue the success they've had over the last three seasons and end up in a similar spot as they have in those years, I think that they'll go all-in in this offseason. But that would include losing Jeff Hoffman this year. And now Jeff Hoffman had stated he wanted to be back in Philadelphia, but he also stated that he wanted to be a starting pitcher. You know, he didn't know if he wanted to continue his bullpen role. He was drafted in 2015 as a starter. He wanted to be a starter again. And Tim Kelly reporting that a three-year, $39 million contract with the Braves feels like something that could happen for Hoffman. Kelly says the upside of the Braves starting rotation is high, but after losing both Max Fried and Charlie Morton in free agency, they need another arm, and Jeff Hoffman could be that. If using Hoffman as a starter doesn't work out or the Braves end up with a surplus of starting pitching depth, he could move to the bullpen and become one of the top setup men for their closer roster. Raisel Iglesias, because he utilizes a four-pitch mix and was taken in the first round of the draft, as a starter, there's been a growing sentiment all winter that he could be there as a starter for his new team come 2025. Not the news that you want to hear, right? And it's kind of, it feels like, you know, for our sake, the Eagles getting Saquon Barkley and taking him from the Giants, now this to a lesser extent, would be kind of similar to that. Jeff Hoffman was a fan favorite for the Phillies, like Saquon was a fan favorite for the Giants, would be going to a division rival, one that you are directly competing with throughout the entirety of the season. You know, if the Phillies had to face Hoffman as a starter, as a reliever for the Braves, it wouldn't feel right, especially for the first season or two. It would feel like that's just not the uniform that he's supposed to be in because of the way that he came up with Philadelphia, with Harper hitting BP off of him when he was rehabbing back from his injury. He makes the statement to the front office and to the coaching staff of, why is this guy not on our roster? This guy is nasty stuff. And it turns out that Jeff Hoffman becomes one of the best relievers the Phillies have as an option in the last two seasons. So losing him would be huge. I think that they've already kind of coped and known that they were going to lose him. That's why the signings of guys like Joe Ross and getting like a guy like Jordan Romano is stuff that they've done to kind of combat that, knowing that he might be a guy that's not going to come back. But it still stinks to see. And it still is frustrating to me that you're going to lose a guy that's been very valuable to you. And I've, you know, kind of banged the drum on not being somebody that wants you to spend a lot of money when it comes to the bullpen, because the bullpen is volatile. The bullpen is something that if you put a lot of money into it, you can get no return on it because the guy might just have a bad year. And the Phillies have had success the last couple of seasons in doing something similar to what they've done with Romano, where you're giving a guy that, you know, has been good in his career, but you're not paying him a whole lot of money. You're only signing him for 1 year. You're trying to see if you can get the best out of him after a down year in 2024 to see if, you know, he can kind of recapture some of that magic that he had earlier in his career. And the Phillies pitching staff and the Phillies coaching for the pitching staff and guys like Caleb Cotham have been able to get the best out of these guys. And Cotham has been able to get the best out of guys that you wouldn't imagine would have anything left in the tank, or you wouldn't think had anything, period, because you didn't know anything about them coming in. And he's turned them into pretty good relievers throughout his entire time with the Phillies. So I have my trust in Caleb Cotham that he can do that again with the bullpen. But still, regardless, I mean, it stinks to lose a guy like Jeff Hoffman. And if it ends up being losing him to a team like the Braves, that it just kind of adds a little bit of extra juice to it and kind of stinks a little bit more to have another team directly benefit off of you not paying one of the guys that was in your bullpen. That was a pretty solid piece. But I just wanted to get that out of the way, just touch on that real quick, because there's a couple of things, of Phillies news things that I want to be able to get to today. But Hoffman being number one of just losing that guy would really stink. Now, the Phillies have also allegedly, this is from the Inquirer, maybe thought about having Bryce Harper be the leadoff hitter for them come 2025. Do I think that's likely? No, but I think that it's an option. The Inquirer has said so. Sports Illustrated has said so. That the Phillies are at least considering moving Bryce Harper to the leadoff role in 2025. Now, take this with a grain of salt, because again, it's January. These are the kinds of things that are coming out in the news at this time of the year. There's not a whole lot going on. It's kind of the dead season. You know, the winter meetings are over a month ago. That's when a lot of the free agency stuff happens. You've still got about a month to 2 months after that before spring training finally starts. So not a whole lot of news going on then. And by the way, isn't it crazy how Bryce Harper and Manny Machado in that offseason when they were the big free agents, they didn't sign until like end of February or beginning of March, whatever it was. Like, that's crazy to me. And there are still guys out there like Alex Bregman who are superstars that haven't been signed yet, but like Juan Soto signed pretty early into the offseason. A lot of the pitching guys had been signed by now. Crazy to me that two of the biggest free agents in the sport didn't have any decision made for a really long time, right up almost until about the season started. But regardless, you don't have quite like that this offseason. A lot of the stuff has already been determined. But Harper potentially being your leadoff hitter. Look, I mentioned this as soon as the Philly season was over, and I was the one of the biggest supporters of Kyle Schwarber in the leadoff spot. I just thought that Schwarber does a good enough job in the leadoff spot. He has been everything that you could have possibly had advertised and more for the Philly since he's come here. I mean, Kyle Schwarber's numbers since he's become a Philly have been better than he's, you know, batting average wise, sure, they're not as good as he's had in his entire career. And I am still somebody that thinks batting average matters to a certain extent, but his on-base percentage has more than made up for that. He's hit in his three seasons with the Phillies, 46 home runs in 2022, 47 in 2023, 38 in 2024. He's had 94, 104, and then 104 RBIs again. I mean, he's been a machine since he's been a Philly. And look, I get it. He batted 197 in 2023. He does pop the 47 home runs and still has 104 RBIs. Like, the guy still had a productive season outside of the batting average department. His on-base percentage that year was 343. So he still gets on base at a high clip. He still does walk a lot. He walked 126 times in 2023. Does have a lot of strikeouts. I mean, he struck out over 200 times in two of his three seasons with the Phillies. And the only season he didn't was this year when, A, he played less games than he had in the two previous years, and he still struck out 197 times. So look, I get it, right? Like, Schwarber, I'm not saying is the perfect leadoff hitter, nor am I saying is he the perfect player. I understand that. That being said, I have backed him for his entire time here as wanting him as the leadoff guy. We've seen the team when Rob Thompson has tried to move a guy like Bryson Stott into the leadoff spot, or has tried to put other guys in position to be the leadoff hitter for the Phillies, and it hasn't really succeeded as much as they would like. It's always been, you always revert back to having Schwarber in that leadoff spot, and he's the guy that does the best job at it. He's the guy that provides, as Rob Thompson has said himself, the instant threat at the top of the order and is able to just create a spark for the Phillies. I mean, he even did it in the wild card round game, or in the NLDS in game one against the Mets. I was there, and when Schwarber hit that home run that put the Phillies up 1-0 to lead off of Kodai Senga, I thought, You know, I was nervous going into that playoff series. I don't want to say I was afraid of the Mets, but I was certainly well aware of how good they were and how hot they were at the time, and how that's a very dangerous team to be playing in your first round playoff series. So there was certainly nerves going into that game and wondering how the Phillies were going to respond to it, being the team that had the bye, being the team that had won the division. And then Schwarber leads off that first inning with the home run, and it just kind of felt like, okay, everything's going to be fine. You know, they are still the Phillies. They are still the team that's been almost to the World Series two consecutive years. They're not going to let a team that's just riding a hot streak be the team that knocks them out. Obviously, that doesn't end up being true because he hits the home run and then they don't score for like the remainder of the game. But he did provide that instant threat for you then. I am now going completely 180 and saying I do not want Kyle Schwarber to be my leadoff hitter in 2025 for the Phillies. I think it's time for them to get more of a prototypical leadoff hitter, a guy that will get on base at a high clip and be able to steal bases. Now, I say that because Schwarber does get on base at a high clip, but obviously Schwarber's not the fleetest of foot. Kyle Schwarber's not out there stealing you 60 bases a year. So is that going to be a guy like Bryson Stott? Is that going to be a guy like Max Kepler, who they just brought in? Somebody who's going to be, more, I don't want to say, just more of a prototypical leadoff hitter. And look, the Phillies have had tons of success with the non-prototypical leadoff hitter. So I understand people's sentiment that are out there saying, well, he's been great at it. They've been great the last three seasons, better than we've had in Philadelphia in the last decade. I don't want to change anything. Like, I hear you, but I think it's time for us to all shift our focus to having a different guy in that leadoff spot. You can move Kyle Schwarber down to the three or the four spot and have him drive in even more runs by being as productive as he is in that spot, but just having guys on base in front of him. I mean, Schwarber's been hitting leadoff, but having the eight and nine hitters be something of Brandon Marsh, of Johan Rojas, guys who aren't getting on base at a high enough clip for Schwarber to then hit them in when he comes up behind them. You know, Schwarber hitting a lot of solo home runs. I mean, to have 47 home runs but to only have 104 RBIs, you know, that's kind of crazy when you think about it. Kind of crazy that that's what that's ended up being. When you have 47 home runs, you're thinking of a guy that's driving in 130 RBIs. And Schwarber not doing that just because of the fact that he's been batting leadoff. So I think you can get a little bit more out of him if you were to have him have guys in front of him that can get on base. If you had a guy like Bryce Harper batting in front of him that's going to get on base. And Bryce Harper would be an interesting thing because baseball's gone the direction of having the leadoff hitter simply just almost being the guy that you want to get the most at-bats per game. You don't really... It's not 1970 when you've got your fastest hitter batting leadoff and that whole deal. You know, you want your leadoff hitter in a lot of ways being the guy that you want up the most in the game. And I think Bryce Harper, without question, is that guy for the Phillies. He's the best hitter on the Phillies. He's going to be the best hitter on the Phillies once again in 2025. They didn't do a whole lot to upgrade the lineup in the offseason. So Harper's still going to be priority number one when it comes to leadoff. And I put Harper there over a guy like Trey Turner because I don't like Trey Turner's plate discipline at all. I think Harper's got a little bit of a better plate discipline. He doesn't chase quite as much as Trey Turner does. He's going to put together a better at-bat, I think, than Turner can. And then you can also flip-flop. Like, you could have Schwarber batting third after Harper and Turner. So you could still do the lefty-righty-lefty that Rob Thompson loves. Harper as a lefty, Turner as a righty, Schwarber as a lefty. And then you can put a guy like maybe Nick Castellanos in the four spot, or you can put JT in the four spot, or Alec Bohm, whatever direction that you want to go with this. You know, you could still do your lefty-righty-lefty stuff. You would just flip-flop Schwarber and Harper in the order that way and go about it as more of a, I keep saying prototypical, but just more of a conventional kind of way, I guess, is what I'm saying. A guy that can, and Harper's not the fleetest of foot either. He's certainly faster than Schwarber is. But you know, you've got a guy that can steal bases a little bit and when he gets the most at bats, you know, he has an opportunity to do a lot of damage for you, when you're out there as the Phillies. So that's the way that I'm looking at that for the leadoff spot. I don't think the Phillies are going to do it. I want to be clear on that. I think it'd be good to change for the sake of change and having a guy, you know, different in that leadoff spot, but with the way Rob Thompson operates. And look, maybe this can change because of the fact that they've had the same result the last three seasons of getting bounced before you can win the World Series. So maybe they are thinking the same way of it's time for us to change, even if it's just for the sake of change. So maybe they do take Schwarber out of that leadoff spot, put maybe a Bryson Stott who played through an elbow injury last year. So maybe Stott's going to be able to come back and be better in 2025. But if you put somebody else up there at the top of the order, maybe you're able to generate a little bit more offense because, as we've seen, that's kind of been their kryptonite the last couple of postseasons, and we saw for the second half of last season in a lot of ways where offense was a struggle, and the chasing out of the zone and not being, able to work at work counts and work at bats and be able to get on base in a multitude of ways really hurt this team. And it was one of the biggest reasons for their downfall. Now, what wasn't a reason for their downfall, and what I think will be maybe one of the I don't want to say the greatest rotations of all time, but one of the best rotations in baseball this season is going to be their starting pitching staff. Because I'm a firm believer, if you have a healthy Jesus Luzardo, and Jesus Luzardo in a lot of ways reminds me of the Phillies when they got Zach Wheeler in 2020. You know, obviously free agency and a trade is different, but Zach Wheeler, when he came to the Phillies, he was a Met for a long time. Luzardo was a Marlin for the last 2 or 3 years. You know, Wheeler could never put it all together with the Mets. He was injured for a lot of time. He just didn't have quite the maturity, and his stuff wasn't quite as good as it is now for the Phillies. He got better as he aged, but he was a guy that the stuff was there. Zach Wheeler was able to pump 98, 99, 100 miles an hour when he was on the Mets, but he had the injuries. And like I said, he was not able to put it all together. Now he comes to the Phillies. He doesn't have his injury. You know, the injury issues have seemingly gone by the wayside. Knock on wood. Hopefully that, you know, that remains. He's only getting older. But he's put together a resume to get him on the Phillies Wall of Fame. And in the Phillies Hall, you know, when he's done playing, I mean, he has been the best pitcher on the Phillies that I think I've ever seen. And I've seen Roy Halladay. I've seen Cliff Lee. Zach Wheeler has done it for a longer period of time than those guys have. And he's been consistently at the top of his game for the entire time. If you remember, Roy Halladay kind of fell off a cliff at the end of the 2011 season, you know, 2012, 2013. It was not the same pitcher. Cliff Lee, kind of the same deal when it got to 2014. You know, Zach Wheeler has just been as advertised and exactly what you have wanted in your ace of the staff ever since he's been here. And I think Luzardo can slot right in to that number two spot behind him and bump Arenola down to the three spot. I think that's just as it's similar to what happened when they got Wheeler. Now, Luzardo, he was with Miami for the last 3 seasons. He was injured last year. He's dealt with injuries throughout his entire career, kind of similar to what Zach Wheeler had done prior to getting to the Phillies. I think he can put it all together here. And if he does, he's a similar pitcher as Wheeler. He throws 98, 99. He's got nasty stuff. He comes at you from the left side. So now you've got Wheeler coming from the right side, Luzardo from the left side as your 1 and 2 in the rotation. That feels like that's a 1-2 punch that can get you somewhere in the playoffs. That's a 1-2 punch that can carry you a little bit. And if your offense is struggling and it's not as good as you would like it to be, that offense can kind of get you through some rough patches with where you're at, and you can get through guys and teams that you haven't been able to get through the last couple of seasons because you've got the dynamite at the top of the rotation. Arenola is very volatile. Arenola can be a guy who can go 3-8 shutout one start or 3 innings and 10 runs the next, right? We know that about Noah, and I still love Noah. I still think he's going to be a very good 3 in this rotation. He's going to be here for the next 5 years, the whole thing. Like, I'm not saying Arenola is not going to be a huge benefit, you know, a huge benefit to this rotation, because of course he is, but you have two guys that I view as possibly the best 1-2 duo in baseball in Luzardo and in Zach Wheeler, where if they're both healthy and they're both at the top of their game and they're pitching the way that we all know that they can pitch, that's going to be tough for opposing teams to do anything with. And hopefully, you know, they get to the postseason and they're able to demonstrate that for us and exploit other teams. But even just in the regular season, if you can have those guys going on back-to-back days, it's going to be hard for teams to beat you 2 times in a row when those guys are the two stepping on the mound. I mean, you know how the stopper, like Roy Halladay was the stopper for the Phillies years ago. If they were on a losing streak, he knew that he was going to come in there, and they knew that he was going to go out there and pitch a good game and kind of get them back on track. I think you've got two guys that can do that now. I really do. And if you think I'm overrating Luzardo, and I'm telling you, if he is healthy, and he, by all you know, means at this point in time, he is healthy from what we've heard. If he continues that, I think you're really going to be surprised at just how good this guy is going to be for the Phillies. I'm very excited for Jesus Luzardo. So that's where I'm at with the Phillies pitching rotation. I think he can be one of the best in baseball. I mean, with Arenola being a 3 in the rotation, and then having Christopher Sanchez and hopefully Ranger Suarez. Now, I know Ranger is an interesting one. They could look to deal him. I don't think they're going to. I think Ranger's going to be in the rotation to start the year. And I have heard people talking about trading Ranger at the trade deadline in favor of a bat or something. Look, I'd even be shocked at that. I think they're just going to ride it out with Ranger. I really do. Maybe if you get some crazy offer that somebody wants him that bad that they're going to be willing to give up a lot, even though he's a rental, I guess you could see it. I think he's going to be in their rotation the whole year. I don't think they're going to try and bring him back. I think Ranger will be gone at the end of the year because you've got Andrew Painter waiting in the wings. You've already got a front four that's really good in your rotation. So I think that Ranger will likely, this will be his last season in a Phillies uniform, just my opinion. But I don't think it's going to be because of a trade midseason or before the season. I think Ranger will pitch the entire season here. And when Painter eventually comes up, you can do a six-man or you can move somebody like Rick Ranger to the bullpen. But I think it could be one of the best rotations in baseball. And even like I just mentioned, you bring up an Andrew Painter kind of guy in the middle of the season and have him throw however many innings they want him to throw and keep him healthy and make sure that you keep his innings down. Man, it's hard to not get excited about that. You know, I was very down on them after they had lost to the Mets. I was very skeptical of what I thought was going to happen in the offseason. I was finding it hard to get up for the 2025 season directly following their exit from the playoffs because I didn't really know where to turn. I didn't know what to look forward to. I didn't know what was going to be different about this year. And the lineup still might have their issues. I think they're going to. I don't think these are guys that are going to just randomly change and become different players. But you've got a pitching staff that can get the job done 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. I mean, they're going to be that good, assuming they're healthy. That's obviously the big caveat. Stay healthy. But if they do, I think they're going to be one of the best, if not the best, in baseball. I think they can be better than the Seattle Mariners rotation. All right. Real quick as we wrap up here, because I mentioned at the beginning, there was something interesting that I thought about the Phillies' schedule this year that I was looking through it the other day, and as I'm looking through it, I said, huh, the Phillies never, throughout the entirety of the season, they never have a 9-game or 10-game homestand. The longest homestand the Phillies have the entire year is 7 games. Now, I know a lot of you either have not looked at the schedule or haven't looked at it as in-depth as I have. I look at the schedule semi-frequently and try and pinpoint where I think they're going to go on runs and where they're going to struggle. It's a sickness. Believe me, it's a sickness. But they don't have more than 7 home games in a row the entire season. For a majority of the season, they're going 6 at home, 6 on the road. 6 at home, 6 on the road. 6 at home, 6 on the road. And then they do have a 10-game road trip at some point, which is even fascinating because it's not like the 10-game road trip you're thinking about where they go out west, you know, for 10 games or something. That's not really what they do. They go to Texas on August 8th for 3 games. They then travel from Texas to Cincinnati without an off day. They travel from Texas to Cincinnati, and then right after that, again without an off day. So it's a 10-game road trip with no off days for the Phillies. That's not going to be fun. But they go from Cincinnati to Washington, where they once again have no off day, and it's a 4-game series in Washington. But after that, you know, only a 6-game homestand. They go right back on the road after that. Just thought it was interesting that they never have that kind of time to sit back and breathe of knowing that you're home for a long period of time. That just doesn't happen. It's kind of just come home, get ready to go back on the road. You know, there's no in between there of having that long homestand that teams typically have. And we remember in the last couple of seasons, in like in August 2 years ago or last season, they had a couple of 9-game homestands where, you know, they're a very good home team. And you can kind of build a winning streak when you've got a long homestand like that. You know, they don't have that this year. So it's going to be a lot of hoping that a team can go 5-1 on their homestand or 4-2 or 6-1, whatever it is. You know, they don't have the long homestand where you're able to just kind of pin your ears back, sit, be at your home for a while. You get home cooked meals, whatever, and dominate at Citizens Bank Park. You don't get that quite as much. So look, maybe there's nothing, no stock to put into that. I thought it was interesting. I love it when they're home for 9 games. It makes it easier for fans to get out there and see them. But also, we've seen the record that they've had at Citizens Bank Park over the last 2 seasons, where, you know, they're a good home team, and when they get home for a long period of time, they can dominate. Unfortunately, they're not going to have that opportunity this year. All right, that's going to do it for me on this edition of Phillies Today. Keep your eye out for any sort of Phillies news. Kind of been slow for the last couple of weeks. I'm assuming and anticipating it'll be slow moving forward. But we've got pitchers and catchers coming in a month. We've got spring training in a little over a month. Get psyched for that. The Phillies rotation is going to be the best in baseball in 2025. I'm excited for that prediction to come true. And until we meet again next week, have a great rest of your week, everybody. Root on the Eagles this Sunday when they take on the Packers. Hopefully the Phillies can have a season kind of like the Eagles are having right now in 2025. All right, that's going to do it for me, guys. I'll talk next week, and go Phils.